Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we're going to talk about water, mostly bottled water, tap water, the making of bottled water, the safety of bottled water, the regulations. My guest is Julia DeGrasse. She is the Northwest organizer for Food and Water Watch, which is a national organization, and she is based in Portland. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Okay, so pretty much anywhere you go anymore, somebody's got a bottle of water. In fact, everybody's got water at the pool, at the gym, in their car, at work. People, I mean, the good side is people are less dehydrated than they used to be, but there's a downside. There's a lot of plastic.
Yeah, there's definitely a downside to the plastic, and I wouldn't necessarily even argue that people are more hydrated than they used to be. I'm sure that people prior to bottled water were perfectly capable of making sure they had proper hydration. And when I was a child, we didn't count on bottled water. When we went out and played, we would come back to the house and get water, or we would bring bottles of our own when we went to sporting events that were reusable. I mean, this is something that is staying hydrated without the assistance of extremely expensive and wasteful bottled water is something that we definitely know how to do.
You're absolutely right. I'm not sure when it started. It seemed like it started happening in the 90s.
Yeah, it really took off in the 90s was when bottled water really started taking off. That was when they started putting, that's when the water bottlers and the industry were able to start putting water into plastic containers and able to market it that way. And they put, you know, millions of dollars into advertising that product and convincing people that indeed they weren't getting enough water. And this was going to be the convenient, easy way to make sure they had more water in their diet. So it was a combination of convincing people they weren't hydrated and also marketing water, bottled water, as somehow more pristine or pure than your tap water.
You bring up the issue. So there aren't any regulations for bottled water, right?
There are very, very few. Tap water is highly regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency. In cities of populations as large as Portland, we're testing our water over 300 times a month, which means multiple times a day. If they find contamination, they have to consult the public with that immediately and fix the problem and make sure that people are provided with clean water within 24 hours.
Well, that even goes for towns the size of Astoria, which is 10,000.
Exactly. And they're testing, it's just the number of times a month that they're required to test might go down slightly as the populations get smaller, but they're still testing hundreds of times a month and have to meet a much more stringent standard and have to be very transparent with the public about what they find in their water, including a yearly report that's made available to people, to citizens about, you know, what kind of contaminants were found in their water, if any, throughout the year. And that comes out every year from every public municipality. So mm-hmm. people really know and can rely on what they're getting from their public water system. The bottled water industry, on the other hand, is really young. And most of our water laws, when they were invented, no one ever thought that somebody was going to be putting water into little bottles and selling it. So we just don't really have a lot of laws governing this industry at all. And technically, it's regulated under the Food and Drug Administration, which requires that water bottlers test their water 6 times a month, once before bottling, and I mean 3 times before bottling, and 3 times on the final product. Those test results are not made public, are not even shared with the FDA, and are not peer-reviewed or reviewed by any third party at all.
So it's good because we say it's good.
Yeah, we're really counting on the industry to have our best interest at heart, which if we can, you know, look at what's happened with sodas and other kinds of similar products, they're not exactly the healthiest thing for humans to consume. And the other thing that's really interesting, and I learned this fairly recently, but the FDA only regulates interstate commerce, which means a product has to be sold across, you know, in more than one state, has to travel through more than one state. If a bottle of water is bottled within a state and sold within that state, it's 100% unregulated because it doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of the FDA.
Okay, so let's talk about where these waters come from. They're usually marketed with a picture of a snow-covered mountain and a picture of a stream or a lake or some kind of something like that.
Or a glacier.
Yeah, something like that. And it usually says something that sounds good. Mountain spring, something like that. Fresh, clear. I can't even think of the words, but they're all words that bring up purity. So where do they come? Where does bottled water come from?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because the answer to that question would have been different in the 90s, and it would have been different even 5, you know, years ago. Basically what has happened is the boom of the water bottle industry has taken place. They skyrocketed in the 90s because, in addition to spending lots of money advertising their clean, pure, pristine water, the public municipalities, you know, and other, you know, your traditional sources of drinking water, you know, don't have that kind of budget to defend themselves or advertise how wonderful their water is. Like, say, Bull Run in Oregon is famous for being so pure, but we don't really have the public water bureau doesn't have a chance to really advertise and compete with bottled water. So back in the day, they really were marketing glacial melt or spring water as this amazing water that's going to be really good for you, and people were really really drinking it up. The bottled water industry is starting to realize that people don't want to pay a lot for a bottle of water. They usually market spring water as better and charge a little bit more money for it. And it turns out that the consumer anymore is most concerned about getting the cheapest bottle of water. So the industry has shifted toward bottling more municipal water. So they're literally taking your tap water and bottling it and selling it back to you for, you know, thousands times more expensive than the tap water is when you just open up your faucet. They'll still have pictures of mountains and springs on their labels, but, like, it's really your tap water that they're bottling. And the stats are not 100% clear on this, but, you know, 30 to 45% of bottled water is municipal water, your public drinking water, and that percentage is only increasing as bottled water companies are shifting more and more toward bottling from public water resources because it's cheaper and people seem to be less concerned about the message about purity and more concerned about the convenience and how affordable the bottled water is.
Okay, so then if I buy bottled water that's bottled in Astoria, it would probably be my drinking water.
It's likely, or it might be drinking water from some community in California. It might be Sacramento drinking water that Nestle has bottled and is selling to you up there. So in the particular case of Nestle, who is one of the largest water bottlers in the world, they have multiple spring water brands that they own across the country, and here in the Northwest and in the West in general, it's Arrowhead. That's a Nestle bottled water brand.
Very clever, because I don't think people would know. I didn't know that was a Nestle brand.
Exactly. I mean, they know that their name is not that popular with a lot of the population from a number of scandals throughout the past many decades, but they definitely buy out, you know, local spring water brands and then start marketing the spring water under that name. And then they have another brand that they are pouring most of their marketing resources into right now, which is Nestle Pure Life, which is the brand that's really their main marketing. And this is what Aquafina and Dasani and all these other water bottlers are doing, is they're kind of changing their marketing to, hey, you really need water. It's important to drink lots of water. It's healthier than soda. Here's a really great alternative, bottled water. You should drink it. You know, so they've stopped marketing it quite so much as pristine, pure, better than tap water, and more just, hey, you need lots of water, and you should drink this because it's better than soda. Which, of course, there's a lot of things in the world that are better than soda, but you can certainly drink water from your tap just as easily, and it's a lot more affordable and far less wasteful.
Well, I think that the last time I calculated it, buying bottled water was, I think, like twice as expensive as $4 a gallon gasoline.
That sounds correct to me. I don't have that stat right off the top of my head, but that sounds about right. And it is generally sold for about, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 times the price of tap water, and is far less regulated, and is in a plastic bottle that can potentially leak chemicals into the water that you're drinking.
Well, Ellen, that is one of the things that has concerned us over the years, is when people use a plastic bottle, you know, how old is that bottle? And then for a while, a lot of people were getting into just, you know, they would want to not buy another one. They just keep refilling and refilling it. And as the plastic aged, what was happening? Was it degrading? Was it going into the water? Was it contributing to the increased cancer rates, et cetera?
I mean, yeah, plastic does eventually leach. And the water bottlers will make the argument that that you know the bottles are BPA free now, bisphenol A free, which was one of the biggest concerns that people had. But it is still made out of PET plastic, which definitely has been known to leach different carcinogens under certain conditions. And even though you're not supposed to, people often leave their bottles of water, their cases of bottled water, in the trunks of their car in a summer day, or they do numerous things like that that can definitely cause, can often lead to chemicals leaching into their water. And there's actually just very little that is, when a study was actually done to look at the contaminants in water, in bottled water, they had found numerous carcinogen chemicals that were plastic related, even though the bottles no longer contain BPA. So the argument still stands that there's a concern, especially if you're reusing and you're exposing that plastic to detergent, which definitely can lead to plastic leaching. There is always a concern for chemical contamination.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one of the things that really got a lot of people to drink bottled water was taste of chlorine.
Mm.
And, of course, people can filter their water.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have chlorine than Giardia. I mean, there's sort of there's a trade-off. I don't want to get sick with diarrhea.
Right.
But I don't like the taste of chlorine either. So, but most new refrigerators have filters. Mm-hmm. You can buy a filter to have on your tap, or there are a lot of other things you can do. But I really think that was one of the big pushes for a lot of people was, oh, here's a way to not get all that chlorine. But if it's tap water, it has it.
Yeah, Food and Water Watch, we definitely believe, first of all, that you should be able to go to your tap and trust that the water is safe and be able to drink it. And if you can't afford a filtration system, you shouldn't need to be able to afford a filtration system to have access to clean, safe drinking water. Mm-hmm. However, if you are a person who prefers the taste of water that doesn't have chlorine in it, and you can afford bottled water and that's why you're choosing it, it's far more affordable and more reliable to purchase a filtration system. It's going to always be cheaper than buying bottled water, and you can trust that the water that's going into that filtration system is cleaner to begin with and doesn't have any chemicals from plastic in it at all. So yeah. That's definitely our argument is tap water should be good and safe enough, and we actually at Food and Water Watch are working to make sure that our public drinking water systems are gaining the kind of funding that they really need to do their job well. That said, if you personally have taste issues with your tap water, certainly purchase a filter. It's going to always be a safer, more affordable option than purchasing bottles of water.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. We're talking about water with Food and Water Watch Northwest organizer Julia DeGraw. We'll be right back.
Acompanhando o bar. Dum 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 bea. Tous les mêmes envies, tous les mêmes rêves en nous. Tous les mêmes.
We're back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Julia DeGraw. She is the Northwest organizer of Food and Water Watch, based in Portland. So, okay, so we're going to filter our water if we want to, or drink out of containers that are probably not made out of plastic, right?
Yeah, that would we most recommend at Food and Water Watch that people drink out of the unlined stainless steel water bottles, because you don't have to worry about what's in the lining, and you don't have to worry about chemicals leaking from bleaching from plastic, mm-hmm. and they're easy to clean and keep sanitary. So, yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Okay, so what about the places that make these containers and do this bottling? So, I mean, I don't know, that they might be in different places. The container made one place, the bottling occur in another, or sometimes in the same place?
Well, this is the, if you look at, there's one movie that was made called Tapped, and it really looks at the kind of cradle-to-grave issues regarding bottled water. And we kind of forget when we purchase a product like bottled water that there's oil refining that has to happen. You have to actually have this raw product that's made into a plastic substance that we can then make into bottles of water. So there's communities in that movie. One is featured in Corpus Christi. They're suffering from major health complications and have a very high rate of birth defects in this community, all surrounding this plant that is refining oil into plastic. So oil refineries are normally not happening in the backyards of places where water is being bottled. That's happening in specific communities that are suffering the damages of that oil refining process. And this is, Corpus Christi is kind of one of those big examples. So that's something, that raw material, that plastic material, then gets shipped all over the country to different water bottling sites where the actual manufacturer will be bottling the water. So they'll be sucking the water either out of the ground or out of springs or however it is they're accessing the water, purchasing it from the municipality, and then they would be actually constructing those water bottles on site where they're bottling the water.
It occurred to me when you were saying that plastic containers hold everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from ketchup to... it's kind of mind-boggling to think of yogurt and whatever. I mean,
it's hard to avoid plastic containers in our modern American society. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a big move at some point to move away from glass, which a lot of people were relieved because they were tired of breaking glass in the kitchen.
And it's heavy to ship around. Yeah.
Right. So it was obviously cheaper for the manufacturers to put things in plastic. But there was such a huge shift away from glass.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there wasn't a lot of foresight going into the health potential health complications of constantly eating out of plastic.
Yeah,
as well.
You know, the food manufacturers are thinking about our health.
Yeah, well, that's right. There you go.
Okay, do you know how many water bottling plants there are in Oregon?
Well, here's the thing. There's quite a few water bottling plants in Oregon. Off the top of, I don't know the whole number, but Walmart bottles its Western Region bottled water in a small town in Oregon. Earth2O is an Oregon water bottler. We've got Pepsi and Coca-Cola bottling water just in the Portland area as well. We've got one of them is actually bottling water from the Willamette in Wilsonville, and the other is bottling water right here out of Portland. So there's definitely, and making soda as well. So there's water bottling that is happening in Oregon. Something that is interesting to note is that Nestle, which is the largest water bottler in America, is not bottling water anywhere in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, or Montana. There is nowhere in the Northwest region at all. And that is something that Food and Water Watch has been really concerned about tracking, because of the water bottlers, Nestle is, especially in America, has one of the worst track records, and we're trying to stop their expansion from opening up in new communities and doing possibly damaging those local water resources.
So do you want to talk about where they're trying to, up the Columbia River, where they're trying to open a bottling plant?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really where this discussion has been leading today is there is, I guess I want to take a quick step back, which is talk about why Food and Water Watch works on water issues. I want to be really clear that our concern about water as well as food is we really want to make sure that our common resources, the resources that all humans require for survival, food and water, are managed in a way that maintains the public interest and that is making sure the government is doing its job and providing us with safe, clean food and safe, clean water. And part of our mission on water is making sure that our public drinking water systems remain public and that people's drinking water is always provided through a public municipality because they do a better job of making sure every citizen has access to clean water because their bottom line is exactly that. Their bottom line is not to profit. But on another level, one of the most egregious forms of taking advantage of this public resource is water bottling. And we oppose water bottling on that principle that water should be maintained as a public good and should not be privatized or made into a commodity. Mm-hmm. So that's our number one reason for working on it. We are concerned about the environmental impact. We are concerned about the public health issues surrounding bottled water. But ultimately, if we're going to manage the world's water resources in a way that is best for life on Earth and for people, there's just no room in that equation for bottling it for private profit. Mm-hmm. So that's why we work on it. We have to be strategic, though, about how we work on it because, obviously, as you said, bottled water is fairly ubiquitous, although the sales have been declining substantially over the last 3 years. Mm. And they seem to be continuing. So that said, we focus so much on Nestle because they have a track record of going into rural communities and often making promises they don't follow through with. They promise more jobs than they actually deliver. They underplay the environmental impacts that will come from their water bottling. And generally, once they open up shop in a community, they really don't change their practices, even when there's pretty irrefutable proof that what they're doing is damaging ecosystems and local water tables. So we're trying to avoid having that kind of bad business coming into the Northwest. Right now, Nestle has a proposal to open up a large water bottling facility in the town of Cascade Locks, which is in the Columbia River Gorge between Portland and Hood River. It's kind of right in between there. It's definitely in the scenic area of the gorge, but the area where they want to actually build this water bottling facility is within the city limits, and that's why they're able to get around the scenic area protections, which normally wouldn't allow for a massive, you know, water bottling mm-hmm. facility mm-hmm. along the Columbia River. And there's a lot more to say about it. I mean, really, they want to go into town and bottle the town's municipal water under the Nestle Pure Life brand, and they want to bottle spring water under the Arrowhead brand. And it's the spring water that is used currently by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for a fish hatchery. The spring is called Oxbow Springs, and it flows into Herman Creek, which ultimately flows into the Columbia River. And right now, there's a lengthy process going on to create a water exchange between the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife in the town of Cascade Locks so that the Oregon State Department of Fish and Wildlife would be giving the water to the town of Cascade Locks so that they could then sell the water to Nestle. So we're trying to stop that water exchange process from moving forward because that makes it a state-level issue. There have been public comment periods that have happened on that issue in the past, and we're currently under a new public comment period on a water transfer that has to do with that ultimate water exchange of water between the town of Cascade Locks and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So we really are able to give an opportunity to every Oregonian across the state to take action on this issue and make their voice heard if they're concerned about a giveaway of Oregon State's water so that ultimately Nestle can bottle it and sell it.
It sounds fishy to me.
Yeah, that's a mild way of putting it. It's definitely, it would be pretty precedent setting that a state would be signing up to give away water so that Nestle can bottle it. Granted, they're not giving it away directly to Nestle, but they're giving it away to the town of Cascade Locks so that Cascade Locks could then sell it to Nestle. And that is a precedent that we really don't want to see made anywhere, at least of all in Oregon, a town, you know, a state that's known for, you know, its pristine water resources and a green economy. We just really don't want to see this really dubious precedent being set in this green state.
So if people want to weigh in on this issue, can you give them some contact information for that? The easiest one might be a website?
Yeah, if you go to Food and Water Watch, our website is just www.foodandwaterwatch.org, all spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you visit the page on the Cascade Locks issue, we link to all the different actions you can take. The public comment period started pretty recently, and we don't have an action for that posted just yet. But it'll be up by the end of the week. But ultimately, our main concern right now is that there are two state agencies that are involved with this water exchange process, and we ultimately would like to see the governor demonstrate leadership on this issue and advise those state agencies to really not move forward with this water exchange process because, you know, the Columbia River Gorge is really not the right place for a massive waterbombing facility, and we really don't want to set this dangerous precedent of the state giveaway of water so that Nestle can bottle it. So we're asking folks to write letters to Governor Kitzhaber asking him to protect the Columbia River Gorge from a Nestle water bottling facility.
That sounds good. Okay, we had a caller from the east end of Clatsop County from the Wickiup Waters District and wondering about excessive chlorine being used to purify water? Something
like our public drinking water? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I think so. There's a water district in the Wickiup area. There's a reservoir up there. And it sounds like they may have had a real high level of chlorine or a worry about too much chlorine.
I mean, this is always, I think, the challenge of your public drinking water system is that we do have far better standards than we have for the bottled water industry, and they have to meet certain standards.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are so many public municipalities all across the country that are all trying to do a very good job. And so for me, to keep track of what's happening with each individual municipality is basically impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But ultimately, I mean, the only thing I would recommend to someone who has that concern would be a filtration system. I mean, if you don't like how your public municipality is providing you with water, if you feel like you're using too much chlorine or you don't like the taste of it, there's always that option of, well, you can filter that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could also get involved with their water district
and
find out what's going on and maybe improve the quality of the water purification system.
And that's another really good point, is the, you know, getting educated about what exactly is going on in your water district. Mm-hmm. And lobbying your water bureau and the city council or whoever the decision makers are to make improvements is definitely a powerful thing to do. And in this, you know, and there are a lot of neighborhood associations in Portland, for example, that work on public water issues because they are so concerned about them. So there's that's definitely something that you can do if you're concerned about your local water quality, for sure.
That sounds great. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining me today.
Mm-hmm.
My guest has been Julia DeGroff. She's the Northwest organizer of Food and Water Watch. And give your phone number at work so that people want to contact you.
Yeah, certainly. If you have any further questions about the issue or how to get more involved, I would definitely love to hear from you. My phone number is 503-241-6556.
Great. Next week, Ken Rizlo will be here. He is the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, and we'll be talking about veterans issues.
I'm Ann Goldine.